Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We are going to do a panel discussion. We're going to spend this summer, the fourth Sunday of the next 3 months, so this July and August, doing some panel discussions on the fourth Sundays. And we're going to do, we did this last summer. It was just fruitful and fun. It was a good experience for us. And we're going to start off each session with a little bit of the Word, about what the Word says about these subjects. And then we're going to have members of our leadership team come up and share some of their perspective. And so, I'll tell you what, just for the sake of time, why don't I go ahead and have the panel come up now. So, Brett Ader, Luke Cooper, and Vina Sanchez, why don't you guys come up, take these three chairs, and I'll be the one on here in the end. I want to just give you guys just a little bit of connection on these three that are coming up and kind of tell you their qualifications on why they could speak into this particular subject. Tonight's session is on navigating the workplace. And our hope here tonight is to talk a little bit about the difficulties, how to hold your heart before, you know, the Lord in the midst of your workplace assignments. One of the things that we recognize is the majority of you are going to be in work situations where you're giving the majority of your time each week in a secular workplace that is the purpose of God for your life, and for you to not have to be in any way shying back from that as the place that the Lord has you, the purpose that the Lord has you. But we also recognize that being in a workplace assignment, there are many difficulties that come up, that life looks different than for some who are around here who are in a ministry of some capacity in a full-time sense. And so we just want to give a little bit of an insight into that. And for each one of these three, I just want to talk about them real quick, and then I'm going to give a little bit of the Word, and then we'll jump in here and do some discussion. And I want to encourage you to write down questions. We're going to do a time of Q&A at the towards the end of the panel after I've kind of give them some prompt questions. If there are any questions you guys have about this subject or anything connected to it, please ask it. Otherwise, we're just going to be crickets in the room for about 15 minutes, and that's going to be really hard on you. I'm used to sitting in a room where there's no noise, so it's really going to be hard on you. So you should probably figure out some questions. That would be good for you. So I want to talk about Brett real quick. I am so proud of Brett, and one of the reasons I wanted him on this panel tonight is because how stinking hard he has worked at his job, and it's been rewarded. He's received promotion after promotion after promotion the last couple of years. It has been so encouraging to watch him give himself diligently, him work with godly character, and his bosses, his supervisors, look at that, see something in him, and then keep promoting him. I mean, that's actually the way it's supposed to work. And sometimes there's some obstacles and some lessons and some periods where you get the snot beat out of you, and he's seen some of that too. But long term, if you work hard at your job, you love Jesus, you do a good job, the process is to get promoted. And he's just so embodied that so well. Luke Cooper up here in the flannel, I'm just so proud of him. He's also worked hard, but that's not really the perspective I'm having him share from tonight. I'm having him share from the perspective of one who has been a bold witness for Jesus in his marketplace assignment. Luke has been on the docks of FedEx with some difficult in work environments, some very interesting characters. Not a lot of folks with the fruit of the Spirit out there on the docks. And Luke has been bold as a witness for Jesus. And I just so appreciate that about him, that in the midst of a secular workplace assignment, he has held the line on being a bold witness. And then I've got Vina up here, Vina Sanchez on the end. She's wonderful. I just love V. Vina, the perspective I'm having her share from is she's in the school districts around here as a teacher. And I'm so appreciative of Vina because while she's in a difficult school environment, she's seen a lot of turnover in the leadership of the school there. I just so appreciate Vina's just resilience, and she just continues to work her tail off. come up with creative ideas, be that chipper, you know, a light in her work environment, just be so filled with character. And I love that the Lord has just given her such a heart to, in the midst of a difficult work environment, continue to come up with ways to make things better, to work hard. She's an art teacher. She's just never given up on that creative side. She's continued to labor and labor in the place of her work and just fight for those kids, building relationships with the parents. She just embodies so much what it means to have a great attitude in the midst of a dark place. And so those are the three members of our panel tonight. And I think at this point, actually, I probably could have, should have gone, come up here earlier. But I want to share a couple of verses, just, you know, a minute each on each of these verses. And then we'll jump into the panel that we've got going on tonight. So the first verse that I have is out of Proverbs chapter 14:23. And I think we've got that one up there. Yeah, great. Proverbs 14:23 talks about this principle of hard work and what the Bible promises to respond if we'll work hard. And so Proverbs 14:23 reads, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." Now, we've got to recognize that the Lord didn't just write this stuff in the Bible so that we would have neat things to quote back and forth to each other. These are truths that the Lord promises to work with. You know, if God's not real, we're all in trouble because we're all following principles he laid out. But since he is real, we can trust that the things that he wrote, the things that he's commanded, said, spoken, directed, that if we'll buy in and we'll actually do those things, we can believe for the promises that are connected to him. And so the verse says, and this is not an isolated passage, all of these points are just scattered throughout the word. Over and over, we see these same principles. All hard work brings a profit. And so I just want to, you know, encourage you. The word of God says in your workplace assignment, whatever it is, you're working in the fields, you're working at a telemarketing company, you're working, you know, at a smoothie can, wherever it is you're working, all hard work brings a profit. So there's a promise to you that if you will give yourself in your workplace assignment and you will work hard, it will bring a reward. It will bring a profit. And next verse I want to look at is Romans 13:7, another marketplace kind of connection here. This one dealing specifically with how we interact with our supervisors. It says, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." This isn't an optional part of the word. Many of you will find yourselves working for terrible human beings. They're just bad. They're evil. They're arrogant. They show favoritism, and you're on the short end of the stick. They don't reward you for what you do. You're going to find yourself in environments with all sorts of leadership over you that are not respectable, and it doesn't matter. You owe them respect because of their position of authority over you. And as those that are in the marketplace, you know, you're all going to find yourself with different bosses in different times. And some of them are going to be awesome and nice. And some of them will love the Lord. Some of them won't, but they'll be people of principle. But there'll be those that you'll find yourself serving under that are just bad attitudes, God haters, blasphemous. And we've still got to find a way to respect them, because what Paul's talking about here is he's actually referring to like terrible government. He's saying if a government is horrible, you still need to show respect because God's the one that put them in the place of leadership in your lives. And so in your workplace assignments, the importance of showing respect, of showing honor, of giving the proper position and response to your secular leaders in your workplace assignment. Next verse is Matthew 5:13-16. You guys know this verse well, but this is how we make a difference. It's not enough to just work hard. Working hard gets you the economic blessings that the Lord promises. But the Lord has you in your workplace assignment far more than for you to be able to make money and pay for your house or your, you know, your food on your table for your family. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." People light a lamp and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's actually a significant universal purpose for all of you in your workplace assignments. all of you, while you might have unique things that the Lord's doing, unique skills, unique environments, one thing that can be said of all of you in all of your workplace assignments, you're there to be salt and light. And you're supposed to shine. There's actually supposed to be testimony in your workplace as you're there for months and years. There's supposed to be testimony. There's something different about that guy or gal. They're light. They're just a better breed of human being. I don't know what it is about them. They're just light. I just like being around them. They walk according to a way that is different than how we think and feel and act. That this is Jesus saying, in the same way as a light in a dark room, you are supposed to be a light in a dark workplace. You are commissioned to be that light and to let that light shine before those around you, that they would see your good deeds. They'd see the way that you respond. They'd see the way that you speak, the way that you love, the way that you forgive. They'd see that and they'd go, there must be a God, because that gal walks according to these purposes, these ways, lives this way, and she claims that she knows Jesus. There must be something to this Jesus thing because of the way that that person lives. Now, that's a bit of a high charge for all of us, a high calling, and that's what the scripture says. The last verse I want to look at, and then we'll jump into some dialogue here with our panel. Colossians 4, 5 through 6. And Colossians 4, 5 through 6 says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be filled with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is just a little bit of illumination on that last verse that we read, talking about the importance of godly speech. Talking about not just that we don't say bad words, but that we've got our conversation seasoned with Jesus. That Jesus is the seasoning on all of our conversation. That we're talking about him, that we're giving testimony to him, that we're talking to others about him. That the way that we're interacting towards outsiders, towards those lost people that we work with, we would be making the most of all those conversations, all those interactions in the break room, all those conversations when the person's having a hard day, that we would make the most of it. We would take the opportunity to be ministers in the workplace, to let our conversations always be filled with grace, seasoned with the word and with truth and with the hope that we have in Jesus, that we might always have a way to be an answer, that we might have answers to those in our workplace assignment. It's part of the way that we're to be that light, is that we take up our position as ministers in the workplace and commit to be ministers to them. So I just wanted to give a little bit of a background, a little bit of the Word of God, as we now jump into some of the conversations that these three have had. And again, I've asked them, they'll share from a number of different points of view, but I've asked them to really tonight to share from that specific perspective of, you know, one that's received a bunch of promotions, one that's kept such a happy heart in the midst of a dark place, one that's just been a bold witness in the midst of darkness. And so I've got some questions I'm going to ask them, and then I'll just open it up and let them respond. So let me pray. Father, we ask you tonight, use this time as some share from just some life wisdom, sharing some verses, sharing some life experiences, and even the questions are going to come up. We ask you tonight, Holy Spirit, use this time to equip this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first question I have is, how do you interact with your coworkers? And specifically what I'm looking at is, you know, avoiding godless speech, the area of witnessing, engaging in discipleship, handling difficult assignments, specifically with your coworkers. So not so much your boss, but your coworkers specifically. What are some of the ways that you have found to be able to interact with your coworkers?
In my current situation, it's actually generally pretty easy because I have the great blessing of working for a private company that is owned and run by believers, and they really like instill biblical principles and biblical speech and that sort of thing within the operation of the company. So in that regard, my situation generally is pretty easy. I will say when now I have the blessing of being in the office. When I first started with the company last year, I was out in the field, and the company that I work for is an AV design and installation company. So, you know, we have a lot of jobs, you know, where especially if it's a really large project, like, you know, we just got done, completely redoing the TCU basketball arena and other large ones like that. You know, we're on these big construction sites with all these other people that we're not remotely related to, you know, plumbers, electricians, HVAC guys, drywall guys, and, you know, a lot of those guys are not believers. They are, you know, living in darkness, and a lot of times, a couple of trades in particular, we have to work together with them a lot, you know, just because, you know, our areas really overlap. And so, you know, I can speak to when I was in, you know, when I was in the field and in that situation, you know, just depending on the situation, you know, trying to kind of steer, you know, the conversation, you know, away from, you know, something that wasn't good and it wasn't positive. And you know, especially, you know, just trying to keep it about the work, you know, was a big thing in that particular situation. Like, hey, guy, you know, I don't really care about that, but we need to talk about, you know, what we're doing to accomplish this task.
That's good. Either you got anything right off the top of your head? Yeah. Well, while they're thinking, before I was doing the prayer room as a job, I was in real estate in a number of ways. And I could just remember my coworkers, you know, we're in a culture where lots of people that really are lost think they're okay because they've gone to church, they've heard the message, their mom was a Christian and prayed for them, something. You got a lot of people that are lost, going to hell for sure, and they think they're okay because of whatever wrong reasons. And I can just remember working with salesmen and many of these different sales reps, and I got moved around from location to location doing assistant sales. And one of the things that I would just try to do is I would try with those coworkers pray with them every morning. Pray for their sales. Pray for them to do well. Ask them if there was any personal prayers that I could be praying for them. You know, just, hey, is there anything that you need? Is there anything I can be partnering with you about? And what that wound up doing was positioning me in a place where then I could, when they had a bad day, when they had things going wrong, I was positioned in a place where I could actually then minister to them. I'm doing something similar in the mornings now where I get coffee every morning. I go in and get coffee at the same place every morning, and I just try to pray for the coworkers there, the workers in that environment, just trying to build a rapport so that they know that I'm somebody that they can reach out to if and when that they have something come up. Anything else you guys want to answer on this?
Yeah. So initially, kind of interacting with coworkers, it was a bit of a sort of a shock factor because I had worked as a full-time missionary at the prayer room for 5 years. So, I mean, it was really only like godly speech, and nobody was really angry or hateful or anything like that. And so the first like month or two, you know, working the blue collar night shift, you know, was just trying to get readjusted to like the culture and just really just kind of reacquainted to like a lost world and just kind of like understanding, all right, this is going to be a lot different environment, a lot different people. And so I just kind of, like, I would read the, you know, I'd take verses, like, about the Great Commission, you know, which is, like, go into all the world and make disciples. And I really look around, like, at however many, you know, it's maybe, like, 80 people there a night or something like that. And I'm like, I think 79 of these people are going to hell for sure. And I'm the only one who's not. And so over time, you know, I've kind of met one or two believers who they, you know, they seemed like they had fruit in their life and that they had a confession of Jesus. And so what I just kind of decided as far as evangelism, just in general, is I just decided, I was like, Lord, here's my commitment with you. I was like, I am willing to share my 3 to 5 minute testimony of how you changed my life with anyone you want me to, whenever you want me to, but you have to prompt me. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to go into work looking for it. I'm not going to try to find it. But I am willing, if you will make it obvious and you will prompt me, I will share it with anyone on the dock, anyone, you know, out there. And I found that that's been a pretty good way. And so, you know, maybe once a month or something like that, he might kind of prompt me. And so, you know, just what I've also found is that a lot of my coworkers, like working overnight in the elements, most of the conversation is just complaining or just vulgar innuendo. And so as long as you catch the people in the conversation about complaining, really anybody is willing to stop doing the work to have a conversation about whatever you want to talk about because they don't want to do the work. And so I would just kind of play on that and have a conversation about Jesus and just kind of share the gospel and just, you know, I'd share about my story and how, you know, it's got to have a life change. And then, you know, if they would talk about, well, I love Jesus. And, you know, I would never really try to just call someone out. I mean, there's a few people. It's like that was my intention wasn't to try and, like, you know, just call them out right then and there. But obviously the person who they clearly didn't have any fruit and they, you know, were pretty vulgar, I mean, I would kind of be like, hey, well, you know, the Bible really says, you know, we have to actually bear the fruit of repentance. So it's like, you know, you really don't have that in your life. So you probably don't actually know Jesus. I think you're familiar with the story, but I wouldn't say that from the Bible you have a relationship with Jesus. And so, you know, I would say it like that. But I kind of had a situation where so many people were breaking rules already. Like with the language that they would use and the harassment suits that could get brought up, that if anybody ever actually wanted to go there and, you know, bring up the fact that I was talking about Jesus on the dock, then you know, I kind of had that up my sleeve, like, hey, well, let's talk about all the stuff that's talked about on the dock, and let's make sure we're all following the policy, because I hear everybody breaking the rules. And so I kind of like... I try to take that be gentle as a dove, but crafty as a serpent. And I am definitely very, very crafty with all of my coworkers.
Hey, I don't know if you caught this, but Luke just shared an incredible little tool that's got a lot of intention behind it. You heard him maybe say, share my 3 to 5 minute testimony of how my life has been changed. Well, if you don't have that in a concise form, it's going to be real difficult for you to have conversations in the workplace, because you can find ways to sneak in a 3 to 5 minute conversation, but it's difficult to have the 30 minute to an hour version. Yeah. And so the reason that Luke has that 3 to 5 minute, he just mentioned it, like it's just a tool in his tool belt. That didn't happen accidentally. That was with great intention to be able to have a 3 to 5 minute version of, I used to be this way. God did this. Now I'm like this. It's awesome. And for you to be able to share that in 3 to 5 minutes, that's powerful, because people, while they may not like the Bible, they may not like this or that, it's difficult for them to refute a powerful change in you that you're telling them about. And so that was just a little tool that Luke just threw out there that all of you ought to have. Figure out a way to be able to do that. One, it keeps their attention. Two, it's very reasonable to be able to pull that off in a workplace in conversation, you know, on the way to the bathroom, at, you know, at the water cooler, just a quick little testimony. So you want to be able to have that. That's a great little point.
It's really your goal when you're doing that. It's you want to be able to be done in 3 minutes. You really are only going to 5 if it seems like there's some response and some interest.
That's good, Luke.
But you're trying to have it. I want to be done with my life change into the gospel in 3 minutes or less. And if it seems like, you know, there's some interest, then we can go to 5. And obviously, if they get saved, you'll go longer. But really, you don't need to go any farther than that. A lot of it's just kind of, I found it was just kind of a waste of time.
That's so great. Mina?
So working at the school, what you can really get sucked into is gossip. And so I try to do the Proverbs 20:19, where it says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. And so a lot of those places, if you ever worked, I think anywhere you go, the lunchroom is always a bad place, just because, you know, you're eating, and so people will start talking about others, and you kind of want, for some reason, you just want to join in with the banter, and so what I do is don't eat there. Or if there's a line at the copier place, I just really turn around and go, I'll come back later. And so I try to avoid those places, and of course, every once in a while, you know, I'll catch myself And I, of course, you know, feel convicted and go back and actually say, you know, I really shouldn't have talked about that person. I let off some steam I shouldn't have, and knowing that, so that the person, they normally are like, oh, it's okay. I was like, no, really, it's not. And so then that would also, you know, kind of tell them I'm not really okay with talking about other people and I really shouldn't have joined in. And so I know in my workplace, a lot of how you feel like you belong or you're part of them is if you talk about people. And so a lot of times I try to stick to that, like, don't gossip type of thing.
Something that Vina just said, that another incredible tool. I mean, you gotta take this as a takeaway tonight, is you, it is so much better for your witness. I mean, don't go and make mistakes on purpose, but it is so much better for your witness that after you've messed up, because you will, you go back and eat it. You just own it and say, I sinned. I did this. I said things I should not have said. I responded to you in a way I should not have responded. I did bad. I'm owning it. Listen, your coworkers, especially after you start to get a reputation of being the person that goes to church or the Christian or whatever it is that they term you, they're starting to look for how jacked up you are. I mean, they're looking for opportunities to exploit you. And for you to take initiative, and when you mess up, you go and own it. I mean, don't even let them catch you. You just go back, you get convicted. If you'll make a habit of this, it will set you apart in the most crazy way, because lost people don't do that. Nobody wants to admit their mistakes. Humility is not a common virtue amongst mankind. It is an attribute of the kingdom of God. It is light in darkness. And I'll just tell you, if you have a hard time being light in a darkness, just make the commitment to own every one of your mistakes. You will wind up being a giant lighthouse in the midst of your dark place. If you will own your mistakes, own it when you say something you shouldn't have, when you're short with somebody, when you did the thing that you shouldn't have done, just own it amongst your coworkers, and it will set you apart in such a way, because that is not something that they're used to at all. All right, well, let's move on to the next question. Now, specifically with your bosses, okay, so that was mostly with your coworkers. Now, specifically with your bosses, how do you interact with your boss? And this can be a variety of different responses, but I'm thinking, what are some ways that you show respect even when it's difficult? How do you find ways to follow their rules even when you don't particularly like it or you maybe don't like them? How do you serve them well as your boss? Just give some insights on how you interact with your boss.
Well, I know one thing for me that in a number of my last few jobs and workplace assignments, that, I mean, the first time was like, you know, it makes sense that it would be surprising, but I don't know why. Subsequent times, it still surprised me. But I've just been so surprised at how it really means a lot to my bosses and really, like, says a lot to them and really touches them. Just, like, having a good attitude and, like, being willing to do what's asked without, like, grumbling and complaining. And, you know, it just seems, it's so surprising to me, because it just seems like such an easy thing to do, to not complain and not grumble. You know, I mean, because it's like, all you got to do is not do something, you know. It's not even, doing this great thing. It's just not doing the thing you're not supposed to do. But that's something that, that just having that, like Vina, you know, just having that cheerful heart and that willingness to be like, all right, that's what you need me to do. Yep, I'll go do it.
That's good, Pierce. That's good.
So I've had many bosses, and I've come to the Colossians 3:23-25. You know, I think Andy only beats me on how many principles that he has had working at his school, but we've had many, and a lot of people are nervous, and I think if you just stick with the Colossians 3:23-25, no one really can touch you, and especially when one coworker was like, aren't you scared you're going to leave? I was like, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. Like, the Lord has my time here. So I don't really see it as working as for man. But in Colossians 3, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving, and anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. And so working with that in my mind, I do everything that I have, and I know some days I'm more tired than others, and some days my all is my 50%, but I'm giving it my all. And so as I continue to do that, and as I do it with consistency, I try not to interact with the boss. I'm that type that's like, I'm not going to, you know.
Brown nose?
There, thanks. Because the one that I was going to say is not so child-friendly. But, but you know, like, hey, how's it going? I really don't do that. But I try not to be rude either. But it's one of those, and I normally just go to the boss when I actually have something to go to the boss for. And so my interaction with them is very little, though I do know I try to be a little crafty like Luke here, because when we changed principles, I put verses up on the wall, scripture that is, to me, art. And so I put it up there knowing that the slight bend that I would have is that it is art up on my wall. And so she caught it, of course, and asked me, like, what is this about? I go, what do you mean? And she's like, you know what I mean? I was like, no, what do you mean? And she goes, the stuff that you have on the wall. And I was like, oh, you mean my art? And she's like, yes, about your art. I go, yeah, I like it. It's encouraging, isn't it? And she goes, yes, but what about the art specifically? And you know what I'm talking about. I was like, I might, but I don't want to assume things, so I'm going to have you say it. She's like, I'm not going to say it. I was like, I'm going to let you say it. And she's like, take that down, Ms. Sanchez. I was like, why? It's art. And she goes, yes. And if you look, and you know, she's a person of the, you know, she's like, I believe the same person you believe in, but I cannot put it all over the school. It's in my office, but it cannot be on the school walls because it says Jesus. And I go, oh, because it just says Jesus? And she was like, yes. And so I picked verses that didn't say Jesus on there, but it referred to the Bible. And I go, that's from a book. And she's like, all right. And then so the one that I did was like about the word in the tongue, how it can give life and how it can bring death. But it didn't say anything about Jesus or God. So I was like, eh? And so she's like, fine. And I go, I win. But in that, you know, then they know, like, I am going to follow. And like Brad says, you're then under a microscope. And so that's normally how I interact with my bosses.
That's great. Luke?
Yeah, I just, like, if I'm ever disrespectful because I'm having a bad day, I usually try to go back and repent to them. And just, I mean, I'll even bring it up if it's like a day later. I'll just say, hey, this might be awkward, but like yesterday we had this interaction and I kind of like, just sort of like kind of rolled my eyes and said yes. And I mean, I still did it frustrated. They're like, and they always give me a confused look, like they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, well, I mean, I was like, it was disrespectful, you know, how I did that. And, you know, I just wanted to apologize because I really value and I really care about my integrity and my character that, you know, I show. And so that's one of the ways that, I mean, I interact. But even another way is that I try and interact with the boss like I would want someone who's under me to interact with me. And so I like good communication, so I try to communicate really good with my boss for anything that's needed. I like clear expectations, and I like kind of knowing a sort of a set of like defined boundaries of what is like what's right, what are you expecting kind of a thing. And so I try to play within those boundaries, but I don't go so far as to just kind of do, because we have some, like, as far as like being an employee, there's some things that we don't have to say yes to everything. We have some things that we can say no to, and we can say, no, I'm not willing to do that. And we have that right to do it, so it's not necessarily like a disrespectful thing when we say that to our boss. And so I've kind of like established a pretty clear, like, hey, I'm going to work extremely hard at what I'm doing, and I'm okay to do a lot, but I am going to tell you no, and I'm going to be very upfront no about it. I'm not going to be ambiguous or complain. I'm just going to say no. And then if they say, no, you have to, then, I mean, I'll go ahead and do it. But I try to do it, I guess, that way just because I don't think it's necessarily a disrespect or a not honoring if I have the right to say no. And that's very much understood by both parties, both the manager and me. So I assert my right to say no, and I tell them no. And they're okay with that, and they know that's part of the rules. And so, but if they weren't okay with that, then I wouldn't tell them no. But, I mean, I've told them no, and sometimes that no put them in a bind, and they had to find someone else. But they're the manager, and that's their problem. So I play by the rules, and they have to play by the set of rules, too. And so that's kind of a...
One of the things that Luke's touching on is we probably don't really have a lot of time to get into it, at least at this moment, but we're going to start questions here in about 15 seconds. So if you've got them, get ready. The point that Luke was touching on really is about setting boundaries within the system of your work environment. Sometimes you're going to find yourself in an environment where if you don't always do the overtime, you're probably going to be the first to get fired. Well, you probably either got to find a new job or always do the overtime. But if you're in an environment where that's a different situation, it's like, well, you know, so long as you kind of are a team player, you don't always have to say yes to the going the extra mile every time because you're needing to spend time with your family and that kind of thing. There is a balance of trying to figure out how do you navigate your workplace responsibilities and managing your house and your, you know, your downtime and responsibilities, in your ministry assignment. So very good point, and you have to navigate that and kind of learn what the rules are. That's part of what Luke was saying is learn what's okay in this environment, exceed the expectation, but don't feel like you have to always do everything, especially if you're needing to, protect some other areas of your life and time. Okay, so let's open up to questions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to do your best to be concise in your question. I'm going to repeat it for the recording, and then we'll have the panel answer it. So if you can, try to get your thoughts together so that you don't ask a two-minute-long question. Try to get it in two or three sentences at most and to let the panel be able to ask. And if you don't have any questions, I wrote down more. See, I've done this before. I know how this works. So this time, if you have any questions, stick a hand in the air, specifically related to anything that they've asked so far, or anything related to the workplace that's just a personal point for you. So any questions in the room? Yes, J.C. Halestroop.
We're almost there, J.C. You and me both.
Yes, Andy. Great question. The question more or less was in trying to figure out what job you're supposed to be at, or you've been at a job for a period of time, how do you know when you're supposed to move on or if you're just supposed to stay there for the rest of your life? Can you guys speak to a little bit about how you make that decision? How does that process work for you?
For me, I know Brad said I was an art teacher, but that was just I just finished my third year, and before that, I worked 6 years as a classroom teacher. And if none of you have ever been in a classroom, just sub one day. I'm just saying, sub one day. But before I even started the teaching, I was praying, and I literally heard the Lord. It was like the parting of the seas and the person, all to say, I heard from the Lord, art teacher, and I went the route of a teacher, classroom teacher, year by year. I pursued it. I put all in my applications for any art openings that I knew. I made friends with art director who was Vietnamese, so I thought for sure, but no. And then finally, I you know, I was like, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I heard wrong. And, you know, the support of the community and people were like, but you heard it, so just keep going. And sure enough, like, the year seven, I got the job. And then, of course, my optimistically pessimistic self was like, I'm going to lose it. Then I'm going to get pregnant again, and I'm going to lose the job. But in any case, the voice of the Lord kept me where I'm at, and I kept going until I either heard again from the Lord to stop, or I finally received what I heard from the Lord from.
It's good. Patience and perseverance in there, if you didn't catch it. A lot of times in following the Lord's leading, it requires you being in places you don't like for an extended period of time. And you just kind of have to settle that that's part of Christianity. And it applies to workplace assignments as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have something very similar to say to Vina. For the most part, I can kind of boil down my experience to two situations. Either one, wanting to move on from a place, you know, just of my own natural desire, and then similarly, you know, being prompted by the Lord. And, you know, in the times that it was being prompted by the Lord, you know, I felt that, but then I would, you know, seek counsel on that, you know, obviously from my wife, you know, because she has a vested interest, you know, but also, you know, from my spiritual authority to make sure that, you know, what I felt like, you know, was the prompting of the Lord really was. And then in the situations where it was the, I want to move because, you know, I'm feeling myself, you know, very similar thing is, and I was in a situation like that, you know, in a job for about 6 months. You know, I was like, this is not a good situation anymore. I need to get out of here. And I prayed about it, and I felt like the Lord said no. And my wife was like, are you sure you heard the Lord right? Because it was tough on our whole family. And then one day, you know, I was sitting at work, and it's like flipping a switch, and I felt like the Lord say, now you can start looking.
You know, Brett's brought this up a couple of times about the role of having somebody in our life that's a pastor, a small group leader, whatever, that's there to help and be a support. I can remember when Brett came up to me and said, you know, hey, I really feel like the Lord's leading this direction. My response was, awesome, let's pray about that. I want to keep praying for you, see if the Lord gives us anything. You know, just praying and going, you know, Lord, is there anything about that that's just off, or that seems like the Lord, that seems right. And so one of the things that I want us to take away from tonight, just on that particular point, is having a small group leader in your life is not the old ball and chain. Having a small group leader in your life is having somebody there to pray with you, pray for you, see if there's any things, any blind spots to go, have you thought about this? No, I didn't think about that at all. Well, you might want to think about that. You know, has this verse kind of popped into your head at all in your dialogue? You know what? I haven't thought at all about how that applies. And so that's really the role of having small group leaders in our whole context. It's not so that you've got somebody who you have to run by all your decisions in order to get permission to do anything. That's crazy. But to have somebody in your life that is able to go, yeah, it seems awesome. I want to high five you. Or, whoa, I just want to let you know, that seems scary to me. That seems like a really bad idea. And I'm just letting you know I'm praying for you, and that seems like a really bad plan. I don't think you should do that. Why don't you keep praying about it and let me know if I can be helpful in any way. So, okay, Luke, did you have anything you wanted to respond on that last question? Any other questions that we've got for tonight? We just got probably room for one more before we close out our time tonight. Any others? Okay. Well, what we want to do in these panels, really, is give the opportunity for our team that's been, you know, doing life together, running this, you know, journey together, helping lead this church together, have a panel of counsel on some different subjects. You know, you guys hear from me, you know, mostly on Sunday nights, unless we got a guest speaker or something, or I'm out of town. And just to be able to do these panels over the summer, for you to be able to get some different perspective on some life issues that are real to the majority of us in this room. I mean, workplace assignments is something that's real to all of you or to your, you know, closest loved ones. I mean, they're in this situation. And so just to be able to hear these ideas and then hopefully even some of the things that were prompted tonight or said tonight will prompt you maybe even to have another conversation with Vina later. How did you handle this situation? Or to hear, you know, some things Luke said and go, man, that really resonated with me. I want to go ask Luke about how this works. That's part of the reason that we do this is as a leadership team to give you guys a window into some of our experiences, how we're trying to apply the scriptures in our lives, and I give you that opportunity to be able to kind of have a little window into life for us. So,
this concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.